Hello and thank you for listening to episode 634 of 60MW and the very first in our new Dice Hard series of shows. Shows all about board games. Don't go away if you don't play board games because we're going to rope you into them. Well, and when I say we, I'm Dave. And joining me for each of these shows all the way from Portugal, it's Nuno. Hello.
Hello, Dave.
How are you? It's really good to talk to you. I want to say a bit about you. But I want to say as well, this is, even though you're an experienced YouTuber, this is your first podcast. It's your first podcast. We'll take it easy. I know there's a running joke here that we always have new hosts. They have to go through this initiation thing that we do. But you're lucky, Nuno, because you're in Portugal. You don't have to go through that. You're just invited into the family. So there you are.
Awesome.
I've got to say, just for the listeners, I'm so happy that Nuno is going to join me on all of these shows. It's well over a year ago, flicking through YouTube. I was already into board games, and I found Nuno's channel, of which, of course, we're going to promote at the end of the show. And I really loved what he was doing at first. And I'm sure you won't mind me saying this, Nuno. I was, what's the guy doing with that monkey? Why is it? And then I was fascinated, and then the more I watched, the more I was like drawn in. I loved the fact that you say what you think, you don't censor yourself, you've got a great sense of humor, and you do your shows for you. There's a lot of people who do podcasts and YouTube channels, and they do them because they want to be famous or they want to make money. And I could tell that you're doing it because you love board games, and that was it. You just wanted this outlet, and to hell with what anybody thinks. So, we will promote your channel at the end of it. And I do encourage everybody to go and subscribe to it, to watch Nuno and Johnny. And people will be going, who's Johnny? Well, you will find out. You will find out. So, yeah. Nuno, let's begin with this one. With this introductory episode, that's what it's going to be about. We're going to talk about how we got into games, what type of games we'd like, and maybe a few other things beside. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Nuno, and I want you to tell me and the listeners, how did you get into board games, and give us a bit of history of you and board games.
Yeah, it was bit by bit. It wasn't all in one go. I think somewhere around 2018, I just kind of reminded myself for some reason, like, what about board games? What is out there? I had some memories from childhood of playing Monopoly and playing some basic roll and moves, which for those that don't know are those simple kid games where you roll a dice and you move something and then something happens. So I have kind of those, you know, good memories that I were really vague. And then I decided to, you know, just check board games. And as I'm normally a nerd, when I try to learn something new, I just went and searched what are the best top games. And I saw tons of YouTube videos, read tons of articles, and ended up buying a game that was family friendly, the type of game that anybody can get into. And yeah, I introduced it to friends, to family, and didn't think much about it. But I think 2 years later, just when COVID was starting, with all that I had learned, I just went on again and started buying more and more games. And from there on, I just started getting so into it and buying probably too many board games.
I think that's across the board, people that get into board games, you get so into them that you do start buying quite a few, don't you?
Yeah. I think it's almost a problem with the hobby. That nobody thinks before they start that it's going to make you spend some money just on quantity.
Yeah, and then whatever shelves you've got are going to slowly fill up, and then you're going to make some shelves. You can fill those as well, and they just keep filling up. I think COVID, like you said, that period was a time when board gaming, along with a lot of other sort of hobbies, where you because we were all stuck inside at that point, where it sort of exploded, didn't it? And when is it that you started thinking about doing a YouTube channel for board games as well.
Yeah, the board game channel came really recently. I was going through something really bad in my life in terms of health, and I couldn't work or do much of anything. And I started thinking, you know, why not use my time for something that may not pay off in the future, but at least I'm doing something, and YouTube is something you can do on your own time, at your own home. So it kind of seemed perfect, since I couldn't really have a schedule on anything, because I did never know when I was going to feel bad or not be able to move. So YouTube seemed kind of perfect, and I just started slowly. I had no plan, no idea of what I was going to do. I just started. Normally I'm like that. If I think too much, I normally just prefer start something and figure it out later as I go.
I think that's a good way. Yeah, it's a good way of doing it. I like it. I like the attitude. Yeah, let's just do it.
Yeah, I had no idea Johnny would be joining in or what I would be doing. And sometimes there's problems with that too. Sometimes I even think to myself, what does the channel name have to do with me? Probably not much. I just wanted a name to get started. So,
well, I was the same. With names, isn't it? You were saying about the name of the YouTube. I was the same with this podcast, because it started as 60 Minutes With. Because I thought I'm going to have 1 hour interviews with people. Not really thinking forward that people, you know, and I've done a lot of interviews, but it's rare that you're going to get somebody, oh yeah, I'll give you an hour of my time. Some are 15 minutes, some are 30 minutes. And that's why I sort of rebranded it as 60MW. But yeah, even thinking of a name for a YouTube channel is difficult, because there's so many out there. But like I said at the start, it's one of the things I really love about your channel, is that you're different from a lot of the channels out there. And I mean, you must have watched board game channels before you started, and a lot of them are very similar, I've got to admit. I mean, there's some really, really good ones, but there's some that are just too similar. It's hard to find that little niche where you can get in with something a bit different, which is what you do.
Yeah, maybe, hopefully. But yeah, you end up categorizing everything almost the same. And even when channels are different, there's like a couple of things that are really similar across almost all big YouTubers on the board game space. Yeah, I chose Meeples and Mysteries because I just wanted something that had a word from board games and then that another word that sounded similar. So Mysteries, kind of, Meeple and Mysteries kind of sounded okay. And I thought to myself, yeah, maybe I'll talk about books and movies and comic books, so Mysteries will be fine. And yeah, no, that never happened.
How did Johnny get involved?
Yeah, Johnny was already kind of a joke me and my wife had. One day my wife bought it at the store, and then sometimes at home when we wanted to poke fun at each other when we were watching movies, we'd pick up Johnny and do a voice and let Johnny be the one doing saying the obnoxious joke. So at some point I thought, yeah, why not use it on the channel too? And sometimes if I want to say something that's a bit more, you know, terrible, or well, I'll have him say it so it's not me.
That's it. You can always say, wasn't me. It was Johnny that said that.
Yeah, yeah, and also I like poking fun at myself, so it's probably less sad if it's someone else doing it.
Oh, yeah. It's really good. And like I said, so different, and is one of the things that drew me into your channel. And you cover a lot on there. And I mean, we are going to get to my board game history. While I've got you, I'm so fascinated about how, you know, when I first saw you in your YouTube channel, you cover a lot on there, and you've got playthroughs on there. You've got box openings. You've got a lot of different things on there. And I know, from what we've been talking about off air, I know you've got, and you'd love to open some of the games you've got, but you haven't yet because you want to use them for unboxing content. That must be, oh, I don't know if I could do that. I would see some boxes and not open them. How do you have that much patience? Because I'm so impressed by it.
Yeah, I think it's good and bad, because having patience and you know, allowing yourself to pace yourself and not open everything like a child will do on Christmas and you do focus more on something when it's just that, and you don't let yourself be. But at the same time, it's hard. And actually, unboxing is a weird thing, because not many YouTubers do unboxings, and I can see why. I don't think they are the most sought after content. And I mostly did them because it seemed like the lowest effort that I could be always doing as I open games and maybe just get more confident and more used to and get better YouTube. That's mostly what I use them for. So that's why most of the channel content was that. And as I try to pivot into other things, I just realize how hard it is, everything, you know, the technical side of YouTube. Board games are a bit worse than other things, because you do need your camera, you didn't need another camera on the game, then you didn't need some heavy-duty stand. So there are lots of stuff that gave me a bit of respect for other YouTubers, because it's not as easy as it seems.
Yeah, that's it. I think a lot of people watch YouTube videos and they think, oh, that's really easy. But there's a lot that goes on while you're making it, the planning before, while you're making it, and then the editing afterwards. And I've seen a good progression with your editing as well, and the different techniques and effects that you use to put everything together. You've really grown with that. It's noticeable from watching, when I first started watching you, through to, you know, your present videos.
Yeah, I noticed that too, although I think it's like a hill that goes up and comes down, because right now I'm in a phase of trying to not do what doesn't seem as effective and is just losing me time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the most effective and faster that you can do something, the more it feels like a pleasure and not work. And yeah, sometimes some effort is not worth it. Mm-hmm. And I'm still learning all of that. I'm not that experienced.
Like I say, we will be putting the link of your YouTube channel into the podcast notes, so people will be able to find you really easily. And we will pimp it out again at the end of the show. And yeah, my board gaming history goes, it's very similar to yours. I started with games like Monopoly, and my dad would play like Scrabble, Cluedo. There's a game over here called Haunted House, which I think, I'm not sure in America it's called a different name. I forget what it is. Ghost House, I think. But games like that, really, really simple. And then I discovered video games, and video games were the main thing. And a couple of years ago, a student at where I used to teach, he was really into board games. And as a way for him to relax, because it was a college for SEN students, and that was his way to relax and focus, was board games. And I used to spend a lunchtime once a week with him playing them. And he brought in, the first one he brought in to play was Unmatched. Now, my experience with board games was still, I thought they were all like Monopoly and Cluedo. I had got no idea how board games had progressed. And so even though Unmatched isn't a particularly hard game to learn and to play, I was still, wow, this is so different. And yeah, we played that, and he brought a few other games in. I can't for the life of me remember what the other ones were. I just remember Unmatched was his favorite. And then I bought Unmatched, but not really thinking, oh, it's two player, it's not a solo game, because I didn't know at that point that solo games were a thing, which at that point I thought, why would I think solo games were a thing? Board games are what you play with somebody else or a group of four of you. Then I discovered solo games, and that was it. I was off and running and amazed at how a board game sat by yourself can immerse me more than a video game ever did. And I know, because you used to play quite a few video games as well, didn't you?
Yeah, for most of my life, I did, yeah.
So was it that COVID period then, when no video games and then into board games? Or how did that happen?
Yeah, it happened just a bit before COVID, and then in COVID, I just increased the tempo of getting to know more about games and getting more games, because, yeah, it made sense at that time, being always closed in. But mostly, like you, when I... after I got more and more into board games, I started disliking video games more, because not every video game, but I started to see more that I played some video games, they kind of played me. While in board games, you really need to be invested in what you're doing and thinking about it and moving pieces instead of the game doing it for you. And at first, it feels a bit like work, but as you get into it, it feels really rewarding. And now when I play a video game, it feels like not doing something that interesting for the most part. Where, for example, a movie will have the better story to engage than in a game. And if I'm looking at the actual gameplay and mechanics, the board game will be better than the video game. So I don't play many video games anymore, mostly because of that, because I get a higher kick from board games.
Yeah, again, I'm just the same. I rarely play a video game now. For that reason, I find board games a lot more interesting, more immersive. And I know we've got Chris and Adam do a video game show. And I know we've got listeners who play video games. And if you're still listening, because I know some people might look and go, board games? But no, what is it about? And like I was thinking they were all like Monopoly. No, they are not. If you're listening to this and you really love video games and you haven't experienced what board games are like now, really need to give them a try. And hopefully myself and Nuno will help you hold your hand a little bit and lead you down the right path, which might ease you into board games a little bit easier. Because if you jump in at the deep end, you can be put off, can't you? Because there's games out there. Yeah. If you try one as your first game, you could really be put off easily. So we're hoping that we'll be able to lead you the right way and give you some ideas. How did you then discover solo games? Because I can't remember. So I was playing a match, then I discovered solo games. I can't really remember. I know early games I got. And this is a light one to ease into. An early one I got was A Gentle Rain, which you can play with two players, but I think it's better with just one. And that's a really light game, and I play that in the garden, just on the table. And Harmonies and Cascadia, they can be played two-player. They're not specific solo, but you can play them solo. And then I stepped up because I discovered Final Girl, because I really love horror movies, as I know you do as well. And yeah, that was it. Once I discovered Final Girl and the narrative that they tell and the world that they create and all the different films that they do a homage to, yeah, that was sort of the beginning of me swimming towards the deep end of solo games and discovering more there. So how did you get into solo? What was your sort of journey into solo? Did you just jump in at the deep end with, oh, I don't know, what would be the worst one, Nuno, that if somebody went, oh, solo games that they could buy, what would be a really heavy, difficult one?
I'm not even sure, because I think that if you look at the all of board games that exist, I'd say that probably 80% of them or 90% of them are not good for someone to start with. But actually, I want to touch on also other things you said that also relate to that. Board games are a bit sometimes harder to enter as a hobby, because compared to, I don't know, to movies or to video games, it's easy to just pick a video game on the theme or the trailer that you enjoyed and you install it or pop it up on a console and you play it. While board games, you kind of have to look at, what's the player count? Can I actually play this? Can I play this with another person? Do I need four people to play this? So, and it's very easy to make that mistake. And I've had a lot of times with friends that are not board gamers, and they look at the cover and they say, oh, I want to play this. And I'm like, that game is for eight people. Oh, that game is a solo game. So there's a bit more that kind you have to know, which makes it just a tiny bit harder to get into the hobby. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when I first started board games, I actually had no clue about solo, same as before going into board games. And I remember here and there getting a few tips that solo games existed, but I never really thought about it. I remember I had a friend, one of the few friends that played board games, that I remember in his house. He had a special table with a game set up. And I asked, why is that game set up there? You know, oh, it's a game I'm trying. And it, I felt in my head, but how is he trying a game alone? Why? That doesn't make sense. And only later I realized, oh no, there's games you can play alone. And it felt weird because it was, I had no idea that that existed. And yeah, I sort of came in to know about their existence. I never thought much about them until I got sick. And at that point, I was not meeting many people. I was mostly not doing anything alone. I was mostly just watching movies or playing a video game. And then I realized, oh, there's solo games, and I have a lot of board games. And I started searching for my collection and realized that a lot of board games I already had, they had solo modes. They were playable by one person, and I started exploring that. And it took me some time from feeling weird playing alone to suddenly it's being one of my favorite hobbies ever. It's like I've watched someone in a conversation say before that, you know, board games are awesome. They are, you can play with other people and have awesome moments, but there's some point of the day when I just want people to leave and I want to immerse myself in a board game alone.
Oh yeah, I can relate to that as well. And I even enjoy the setup of a game. And some games can take quite a while to set up, especially the first time. You know, even just sat, I find it so relaxing to sit, just have the radio on in the background, sit and punch out whatever needs to be punched out, tokens, etc. Go through the rule book, set it up. Yeah. And that can take hours sometimes, depending on the game. I mean, not all of them, obviously, but I just find that weirdly relaxing. And then teaching myself.
Is that something that you felt always since you've started the hobby, or something that happened at some point? Enjoying the setup and learning.
Yeah, I think that's something that has evolved during the time that I've liked board games. Because at first it was all so alien to me that all of that. Because again, you're used to video games, and I hadn't bought a physical video game for ages. I'd gone like all digital for a good few years. So I was just instant start. You're into the game and that's it. And then with board games, you've got all of this, all of the setup to begin. And I was, oh, I want to play the game. And then slowly it was, I don't know. It just slowly evolved to, I'm really enjoying this. And just, it's like, it is almost like a form of meditation and mindfulness. I really is. I found that board games have really helped with like my mental health, to help just zone everything out and just draw me into another world that they create.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a good analogy somewhere, but when I started board games also, I just wanted to get it played and get through the rule book quickly to learn the game and teach others. And it always felt a bit hard to do that. And at some point, and I think it was more or less when I also started solo gaming, it was actually some years into it, when I kind of clicked to the other side and started really enjoying learning games and setting them up and seeing the inner workings. Because as I said, while video games are all prepared for you, board games, you have to prepare part of it yourself. And the things that normally the computer takes care of, you're the one taking care of it. So you're not exactly like a programmer or developer, but you do get to see a bit of the inner workings and see them moving. And at some point, that started becoming really interesting. And as I got into harder, more complex games, I started really enjoying like learning how they do this, how this happens. How, you know, there's various moments where I'm learning a new game or setting it up, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, that's really smart. I've never thought about that. And I've played similar games for years, and you get really amazed at sometimes things that are not just the gaming itself are all around it. The same that maybe if you know a bit about cinematography, when you're watching a movie, you're not just enjoying the movie, you're also enjoying some technical moments that you see, or the same in music, if you know an instrument. You start getting a bit of a higher comprehension into it. And board games do that naturally to anyone, because you do set up, you do learn them. You do move the beat. So I think it's a really interesting hobby in that regard compared to other hobbies.
Oh, yeah. Again, 100% agree with that, because that's happened to me a few times as well. And another thing I like about them, you know, while we're just on this comparison with video games as well, is especially near the start when you're teaching yourself how to play. And there's different ways that you can teach, and you can just read the rule book. There's YouTube videos. You know, there's all different ways. You can listen to podcasts. And inevitably, you'll play a game, and then at some point, it could be your first play, or it could be a bit further down the line, you discover, oh, I'm doing that wrong. You might have missed a rule, or you're playing a certain thing wrong. And that, I mean, just the other day, I'm playing Halls of Hegra at the moment, and I've just had an hour on it before we started recording, and I've discovered something that I'd missed, and I was, oh, you can do that as well, which is really good. But it's not stopped the enjoyment of the little bit of time I've had on it so far. With a video game, if you're doing something wrong, it usually stops your progression and you can't get any further with the game. Whereas with a board game, even if you haven't learnt the rules properly, you can still have a good time with it, and it's not going to stop you carrying on with it. I mean, you might be doing things a bit wrong, but there's nothing wrong with doing things wrong, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, because in a video game, the button will be grayed out and you can't click it. In the board game, you can do everything. And the example you are giving for Halls of Hegra that I know you've been playing recently is a recent example, but sometimes it happens with games that I started when I first started the hobby years ago. I learned the game, and now more than 5 years later, I see a video on YouTube and I see someone playing the game, and I'm like, oh my God, I've been doing that wrong for years. It's almost like watching a movie that you watched in your childhood, watching it as an adult, and then suddenly getting a lot of, things you wouldn't get as a child, like special meanings on stuff, you know, certain looks between characters. And you're like, oh, I had no idea.
And it's good then, isn't it? Because then you think, I need to try it now. I need to try that and then do that correctly. And it's such a good feeling. And with board games as well, I react to them more than I've ever reacted to playing a video game. So a couple of examples being Final Girl. And I know I've told you this story off air, but with Final Girl, and we'll get going forward, we're going to have topics and so on, but we'll get into that and talk about different games. But Final Girl is essentially, you are the final girl in a horror movie, and you've got to survive against whoever the killer or killers are, and you've got the potential victims that you can save. And it's a tough game. It's a tough game to win. And I had a game just the other week, and it came right down to the wire, and I won. And I quite literally shouted out, yes, I'm just sat here by myself. And I've punched the air. I've lost count how many times I've punched the air when something really good I've met. I've got so many victory points or whatever the game is. And I've gone, yes, come on. And I'm just... talk to myself quite a bit as well. Have you found that, Nuno, that you do you talk to yourself when you're playing a game? Because I found that I've started doing that, and if anybody walked in on me and I'm just sat talking to myself looking at a board game, they might look at me a bit strange. But yeah, I do find I get into it a lot playing the game.
Yeah, it's something I've learned way too late, and I still don't do it as much as I should. For two reasons. Sometimes I don't remember to, and other times there's people somewhere and I am more conscious of not just, you know, seeming like a crazy person talking alone. But yeah, that's something that actually happened to me when I was doing YouTube playing Final Girl, because I played that game a lot, really close plays, and I started getting diminishing returns where I was enjoying the game, but not as much as my first plays where I was really amazed. And then I did a video for YouTube, and because of that, I had to be speaking about what's happening. And the fact that I was talking made the experience so much better that I ended the video and I'm like, no, I gotta talk to myself. Even if it's just in my head, I gotta talk to myself. Because, and there's two types of, you know, board games in all. There's board games that are more or less thematic, and the games that are normally thematic, like Final Girl, those improve a lot from just speaking to yourself and narrating the experience. It kind of makes things real.
Yeah, it really does. I think this is a good point as well to sort of chat about what games we like. Because hopefully we're starting to get the video gamers out there to start thinking about board games. You don't have to stop playing video games like myself and Nuno have done, but just
yeah,
you know,
not at all.
No, you can have both. It's fine. But we just would love to broaden the board game church, as it were, and get people more aware of what's out there and the experiences that you can have with them. So,
and I think board games have made me a better player, even if I don't play as much video games now. Maybe it's just an idea more than reality, but I think they've kind of made me smarter, ponder my moves better than in a video game. And even the fact of reading rule books and understanding rule books, it made me realize how language is important, how saying put this here or saying place this here, those are different words. And sometimes when different words are used, they're there for a reason. So I'm much more attentive now to specific words in everything, not just board games. So I think that they have kind of made me smarter in terms of strategy and reading, and at least a bit more attentive.
That's a really good point, yeah, especially with the use of words, the use of language. When you're reading the rule book, there can be words that are very similar in meaning, but do mean different things. And within the case of the game, you've got to do something different depending on the word. That's really good. And I think they do keep your brain a lot more active than video games too. And again, remember everybody, this is coming from two people who really loved video games, and hopefully by now you can have a little taste of our enthusiasm for board games and why we've started this show as well. So I think going forward, so board gamers that listen, thank you for listening. Anybody that's not a board gamer yet and is listening, again, thank you for listening. It would be good if the listeners have an idea of the type of games we like. So then going forward with the shows that we're going to do, and we're talking about different types of games and different titles of games, they'll know if I like one particular type of game and you're not too keen on it, and the other way around. It's always good when you talk about games that you can listen more. You could go, well, Nuno likes those type of games and this game is similar to it, so I'm going to listen more to what he says about it, because I know Dave isn't really a fan of them. So what type of games do you like playing, Nuno? And a few examples of titles as well, if you want to. But and I know it can change as well, but as we sit here now, what are the type of games that you like the most?
Yeah, I think that's a really hard one to answer, not just in board games, in everything, but I think it's really hard because I do have a preference for the type of theme mostly, but anything that's actually good, I'll probably enjoy playing. The same way, like, for example, for movies, it's similar to board games, actually. I like sci-fi, I like post-apocalyptic, survival. I like those kinds of themes, but if I see that drama movie is really good, I know I'll enjoy it. Might not appeal to me as much, but I know if it's good, I will enjoy it. So I tend to be like that with board games and not limit myself. But in terms of theme, I do enjoy games that are about survival, that have darker themes, games like Final Girl, where basically are the final girl in a horror movie, games like Nemesis, which are basically you're playing the alien movie. Or, for example, one we both like, Frostpunk, where it's a city management game, most like computer games, like SimCity. But the city that you are running is the last city on Earth, and the world is freezing over. So it's city management with politics, but survival and a dark theme and dark stuff happening. Those are normally the games that I'm drawn to, but I end up playing everything else, especially because my wife just likes the more typical classical board games where you're Like Catan, if people know, play games where you're just not mostly playing something old in Europe and doing trading or building an empire or something like that.
Yeah, I've found that I really latched onto theme. Theme is a big thing for me, but the two main things is I like games where I can put myself into the position of the main character. So the main character is usually a person. So I like games where you're a person. Examples of like Robinson Crusoe and all of the Final Girl games. Frostpunk. Yeah, because you're sort of managing a lot of people. Stalker, Maledum, Core Space. And as well as enjoying being a person. Strangely, I really love games that are really difficult and you die a lot. Final Girl games being that. And I don't know what it is. Robinson Crusoe is a tough one. You've got to keep trying and trying again with a video game. I'd eventually give up if I had to keep. And people that have listened to me talk about video games on the show will know that I just hate boss battles in video games. And I would just be stuck in so many video games because I'd hit a boss battle, couldn't beat it for the life of me, dropping it down to the easiest difficulty. And that was it. The game was over. I couldn't progress at all. And I just got sick of trying. Whereas, strangely enough, with board games, I enjoy that. I like, I'm dead. I've got to try again and try a different way. And of course you've got with the video game it'd be the same thing, and you've got to learn like the attack patterns of a boss. Whereas with a board game you could try the same scenario, let's stick with Robinson Crusoe, but the dice rolls are different, or your card draws are different. There's different variations going on, and you can be at the mercy of the roll of the dice or the luck of the draw with a card. I really like that. I really do like that, that you don't know what's going to happen next and it's tough, and just playing the same scenario has never, ever bored me with any board game at all.
Yeah, and I guess video games, especially video games, the type you're talking about, probably more single-player story-focused with boss battles, I think they can get away with more because they do immerse you in the story with the sounds, the visuals, the vocal acting, all that, and the board game doesn't have any of that. You kind of do it yourself. And I found that board games tend to be better on the gameplay part, well, where the gameplay part is really good, to the point that doesn't matter as much if you're losing because you're enjoying what you're doing. While in boss battlers, in video games, it depends. I also have some experience where, at some point I'm fighting a boss and it's not like I'm making interesting decisions. I already know the pattern and it's all down to, can I click this button at the right timing when I see that for, I don't know, 20, 30 times and then dodge. And if I can do that, I pass. And if I can't, well, good board games tend to have a bit more going on than that, whether you're losing or not, they're more interesting.
Yeah.
That's what I found. I'm not saying that all video games are like that or all board games are like that, but it's something I found. But also, I'm a bit biased because in my latest years in video gaming, I mostly stopped playing those types of games, and I mostly played games like League of Legends, where it's mostly about interesting gameplay and not much story or anything else, almost like a sport. So I'm a bit biased to those types of games right now.
Yeah, there was a time not too long ago when I would have been really excited for the release of GTA 6. And I'm not bothered at all about it, to be honest with you. I am playing Forza Horizon 6. I do like driving games in video games. And that is a game. That's one of one as far as video games go, where I can just turn my brain off and put my feet up and just drive. I like the Horizon series of the Forza games because you can just, if I want to, I can just drive across a field for hours and not have to follow, not even have to do a race. I can just drive along. But given the choice of playing that or playing Heat Solo, especially with the new Legends expansion, which has made it even better still. I prefer to play Heat, which, and again, from an outsider looking in, and you think, well, you're just sat in front of a board with little plastic cars, and you're turning cards over for the AI cards, and you've got a hand of cards and deciding which to play, and you're doing it over, and you've made, you know, it comes with this whole Grand Prix that you can join in with and play, and you've got Forza Horizon 6, where it's Japan now and this whole world and things to unlock. And again, while I still enjoy Forza Horizon, I would rather play Heat. Again, that just draws me in more. So I'm hoping, again, any video gamers listening, just to try and give an idea of, I don't know, do you think, Nuno, that board gaming in general is seen as really geeky more so than video gaming?
Probably, but I also think that's probably changing. And it's also, it always depends. I've introduced friends to board games where they didn't really think that, but I've introduced them to people or talks to people who really saw them that way. But I'm normally the first to make them realize it's not really like that. The games are accommodating for everyone. They are like movies. There's movies that are there for everyone. There's movies that are really for people that really enjoy movies and know about really niche things. There's games for everyone. And everybody enjoys having fun. And board games are a bit more niche, for sure. But board games in general, I don't think so. It's more a perspective thing from the old times. Because, yeah, another thing I wanted to touch that you mentioned early in these episodes, that when you start looking into board games, you get amazed. And that happened to me, and I think that happens to everybody in a way that almost no other hobby. I tend to think like looking into board games for the first time, when you've only known about Monopoly and Clue and Scrabble, it's almost the same thing as if the only movie you've ever watched and known about was some movie without sound from the 50s or 40s. And then you realize there's cinema, and it's almost like that, because Monopoly is a game from the 70s, I think, or even early. I'm not sure if it's from the 50s.
Yeah, I think it's even earlier than that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
And it's basically that, like, if people watched a movie from the 40s and then came to 2020, and yeah, things are really amazing.
Yeah, it's the growth of what you can do with board games is, I'm still amazed by it. I'm still amazed when these new games are coming out. And you'd think, again, from the outside looking in, you think, well, you've got cards, you've got dice, you've got miniatures or standees or anything to, you know, tokens to move around. And that's,
I'm not even sure if people know that much. I didn't.
Well, yeah, that's a really good point, actually. Yeah, maybe people don't even realize that. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, because you were asking, and you talked about it, that you really like the unpredictability paired with gameplay of throwing dice. And one of the things I never knew about was bag building, or just bags in games, where you have a bag and you put stuff inside of that bag and then you grab something without knowing what you're grabbing. Same way you would throw a dice and not know what's coming out. And that's one of my favorite things. A couple of years ago, I didn't even know it existed. And it's like throwing a dice. It's all those moments of excitement.
It is, though, isn't it? I know what you mean with bag building. And it's in, just going back to Halls of Hegra that I was playing just a little bit earlier. And there's that in it as well. And the more the game goes on, the more bad stuff gets put into the bag. So the more chance you're taking when you're drawing stuff out, and it's like, and there's the push your luck aspect to it. And you know, you could draw out a soldier and you know there's bad things in there. Should I draw another one out? It could be something bad, but I might get something, a medic or whatever. And it's, yeah, I really like that as well. You know, yeah. Even if you pull out something bad and it's like, oh, damn it. it
can be used in various ways, also positive ways, but the evil way of, you know, having a bag that is increasingly has bad stuff inside that you can pick up, even when you're just putting, like the game instructs you to X happened, so grab that token and put it inside the bag. And at a certain point, you are putting a token inside the bag and you're like, oh my God, this bag is filled right now with bad stuff. I'm afraid to put my hand in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope people are getting our enthusiasm for board games. And because we've been talking off air, of course, and we've been planning, and we thought this first one, it'd be really good to give you, the listener, a bit of an idea of how we got into board games and a feel for us both of what we like about games. And hopefully, we'll drag you into this world. And I mean, we've talked, haven't we? We've got a shared Google Doc that we're going to do for different topics and so on. I mean, is there anything you'd like to say, Nuno, about us going forward of shows and so on, things we'd like to talk about, and you know, anything like that at all? Because there's so much to the board gaming world to cover, and there are other board gaming podcasts out there and YouTube channels, but yeah, we're hoping we're both big solo gamers. I know you play more with other people than I do, but we're both primarily solo gamers, so I think as far as some gameplay goes, there'll be quite a bit about solo chat.
Yeah, probably more. But yeah, I do enjoy games with other people, and there's some really great stuff out there. You know, I didn't maybe touch on it a bit when you asked me what games I like, but for playing games with other people, there's games that are really fun, that are make people kind of talk to each other and have fun playing, and games that are not generally mean, where there's not a lot of negative interaction, where your play can be fun to the other people. And also something that I think it also happens in online multiplayer video games, where they're trying to make the game fun for everyone, where there's not just someone winning and someone losing. There's games now that I really enjoy that kind of try to balance things out. If you're doing too good, the game is going to become harder, so you can enjoy yourself more. And if the game is too hard, it's going to become easier, so you can actually have a chance. And that's something I've really enjoyed, both in video games and board games, that has happened in the last years. Like, I think it's kind of has become one of the directives of developing games that I really enjoy.
Yeah, and there's some good cooperative games as well, where, you know, as a group, two or more people, you can join together and you know, and work as a team and have a laugh as you're playing as well. There's so many different ways of playing these games, and different, you know, there's the party games and so on. I know you were telling me, and it got me thinking, because I was talking about playing Heat and comparing it to me playing Forza Horizon, and you were telling me about, is it Thunder Road Vendetta? Which I think if I remember rightly, you explained to me was like being in Mad Max, which made me go, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. And yeah, that's one of the things, there's board games for absolutely everything. There's a movie or situation you like, there's probably a board game for that. And what you were saying about cooperative games, that's something that I never played much at all. And that's also maybe why it took me some time to go into solo. And yeah, there's some really good and interesting cooperative games where people can play as teams. And I think solo gaming kind of came out of cooperative games, because you were already making, so there's actually one entity against evil or something like that. It's just various players taking turns or playing. And so why not one person do that? And I think solo board games kind of came from there, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think of the things we're going to talk about going forward with all the different shows, the way that these games are evolving. And once we start talking about crowdfunding and, oh dear me, there's so many things to talk about. You've got to be careful. And I think this goes for video gaming and any hobby that you have at all. You've got to get rid of that FOMO of the new shiny that's coming out. And, oh, I need to get that. And I think board gaming is the worst for it, specifically with the crowdfunding and the extra stuff that you can grab and trying to get you to feel that fear of missing out on something. So yeah, just be careful that you don't go too deep down a rabbit hole. If you think, oh, that's really good, you've got to be prepared to be a bit sensible with money as well. I think definitely more than video gaming. I know with video gaming, there was the whole thing about loot boxes.
Right.
Yeah. And I know that's been stopped in a few countries. You know, they're trying to get you within the video game, and you could, I mean, the thing with the loot boxes with video games, a lot of them you'd pay money and you could get something that you've already got. It could be, oh, I've already got that.
Yeah, it's kind of like gambling, and it kind of missed me by. I was not participating in it, but I did read the news, or some countries were making laws to protect people, to make it more akin to gambling, since it's really similar. And I think board games are going through that phase now, because even though there's been board games like Monopoly since we're throwing numbers, but I think the 30s, 40s, truth is the golden age of board games has been since the 2000s. So board gaming as a hobby is really only flourished really recently. And it's the golden years, while many other things those years have passed and laws are in place and people know what to expect. While in board games, that's happening now. So that happens a lot, and happened to me, and I'm sure it happened to you, Dave. So
yeah,
it's something you kind of learn that, yeah, you got to be careful. Sometimes let that excitement go for a little bit. You don't need to own everything. And when things are really good, they will be available to you. So FOMO is never a good reason to get something.
No, definitely not. No, have patience. Enjoy the games that you've got. Because that, you know, you can just end up, and again, video gamers listening, especially if you buy everything digital, or even if you buy stuff physical, I think all video gamers talk about their shelves of shame with the backlog of games that they've bought, and they'll buy it when it comes out because it's the new shiny game, and then they find years later I haven't played it yet. It's the same with a lot of hobbies, and board gaming is another one of those.
Yeah, and I think board gaming is even a little worse, because you can't just, you know, press play and start the game. You have to kind of learn it. You have to set it up. You have to unbox the box and sort the components sometimes. So there's it's even harder to start if you're feeling lazy. So if that's something that already happens in your life, it's surely going to happen and be worse with board games.
Mm-hmm.
And even worse if you need if it's a multiplayer board game and you need a certain number of people to play it. And even worse if it's a campaign game where you need to get those people together various times.
Oh. Yeah.
Something I've never did, but I can see how, yeah.
Yeah, that would be tricky.
Be worse.
Yeah, especially campaign games, yeah. Is there anything that you want to say, Nuno, while we're here with this introductory episode?
Not really. And I've realized I didn't really answer your question a while ago, but I'm not sure, because there's tons of topics and things we'd like to discuss, me personally and with you, and not just games, but also tons of topics around board gaming. So
yeah, there is.
We'll get there in time.
We will do. Yeah. We thought we'd put this out as, like we say, just an introductory episode. You could get to know me and Nuno, what our sort of history with games, what games that we like. And then going forward, we're going to talk about, well, like Nuno said, we've got so many topics we want to talk about. We'll more than likely start the shows. If we've seen anything interesting online, you know, there could be a new game coming out. We might have got a new game. We might have, you know, really enjoyed something. We might have bought a new accessory or anything like that. I think we'll start the shows with just a bit of general board game chat and what we've been up to, like we do with most of the format shows on 60MW. And yeah, we have got so many topics that we want to talk about, and games as well, I should imagine. So we're never going to be stuck for things to talk about. And then, of course, I'm going to the UK Games Expo a week today as we record, Friday the 29th. The first time I've ever been to one, so I'm very excited, even though I can only go for one day. So I know I'll be sending you a lot of messages that day, Nuno, from Birmingham, and I will be ultra excited. So yeah, just prepare yourself for lots of WhatsApp messages that day.
I am prepared.
Now, I want to say as well that this show is sponsored by a couple of people. And regular listeners, you know that we do sponsorship very, very differently. All the other podcasts, they're either approached by people or they find people and they say, right, we want to be paid. Give us money, give us things, and we'll put you as a sponsor. The way that we've always done it is we go out and we find people whose product that we really love and we just want to promote them. We take nothing from them whatsoever. We just want to help promote them in any way that we can. So the first one that we got, because we have two, is The Board Gamer. So if you go to theboardgamer.co.uk, run by Dean, it's a lovely guy, very often has sales on, he sells new games, he sells second-hand games. As I record, I put it out on our social media just earlier today. So if you don't already follow us on, we're on Instagram and on Twitter, we're also on Threads and Blue Sky, but I would say that Instagram and Twitter are the two main ones to follow to keep up with everything. He's got a big sale on at the moment where, he's giving an extra 15% off even the games that have already got 10% off. So you're getting 25% off. And there's something else. If you buy two, you get, I don't know, you're saving a lot of money. Go to theboardgamer.co.uk. Links will be in the podcast notes again. And I'm going to hand over to you, Nuno, because the second sponsor, I think you know really well, don't you? I think she's she might not even be very far away as we record this.
Yes. So the other sponsor is Dree Designy, which is a store on Etsy, where we sell, my wife mostly, she works there. She does, she creates 3D models and prints 3D things. And she mostly focuses on board games. And I'm guilty of pushing her into printing stuff related to board games because her area of expertise is fashion. And she has, for now, she has earrings there, and that's what she is likes designing. But I was like, oh my God, if you're printing stuff, because printing stuff in 3D printers is big in the board game world. Mm-hmm. It's probably a topic for someday. And I've kind of pushed her to also do that for my own enjoyment and obviously also for people that want it. And I don't think I can give you a link because it's one of those links that is really big and art, but we'll have it somewhere.
Yeah, right? Definitely. We will have it somewhere. And I have bought some 3D printed accessories for Heat that I talked about earlier in the show. And I bought them before I even got in touch with you, Nuno, to talk about doing this. I was aware of it through your YouTube channel and I went and had a look and I went, oh, they look great. I'm going to buy them for Heat. And they've come and they're really good. I will add to the game immensely. And I think that would be another topic as well. Just all the things you can add to games just to make them feel better. You don't necessarily need them, but having them is so good and just adds to the whole table presence and so on. So we'll talk.
Sometimes they even make playing better. And that's actually one of the things I really liked when I met you and your podcast, because I'm the same in my YouTube. I try to not do anything sponsored. The few times I've been contacted to get a game to try it and make a video, I'm like, I don't want to, because that just feels wrong. And I don't want to go there. I want to keep this, you know, for my own enjoyment. And hopefully I'll make something out of it in terms of money, but I don't want to get money to promote anything. So, and the store is our way of doing that without taking sponsorships. So that's something I really enjoyed in this podcast too.
Oh, thank you. It's been great having you on. I'm just looking at the time. This episode could be about an hour long. This could actually go to 60 minutes right in with the name without us knowing. How professional is that? That is. You'd think we'd have even meant this. You've done so well. Your first episode, you're speaking in your second language, and I can't even speak a word of Portuguese. So I think as we go on recording these episodes, I need to lean to learn a little bit of Portuguese, even if it's just saying goodbye at the end of the episode. So what is goodbye in Portuguese?
Goodbye would be adios.
Adios. Oh, okay. That's a good one then. That's a good one for me to begin. I know that word now then. But thank you, Nuno. It's been an absolute pleasure having a chat. We did say when we were planning this first episode, we did think once every 2 months, because I do the once every 2 months with Chris with the entertainment show. I do it with Tom for the Decade of Decadence. But we're flexible to when we can record. We've both got our own things, you know, away from the podcast world and your YouTube world. And, you know, you've got a young baby as well to look after. So we'll, as is the way with 60MW, we'll put these shows out when we can put them out, because we have got a lot to talk about, haven't we? So we'll definitely arrange to be in people's ears before not too long, I think, won't we?
Yeah, I think hopefully sooner than later, because I do have the time at least to make it sooner. And yeah, we have a lot to talk about. So there's, as you said, in the board gaming world, there's not enough to talk about.
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, we'll be back soon. Again, the best thing you can do for us, share the shows, tell your friends about us. I've recently started a Discord channel. The link for that will be in the podcast notes. Join in there. It's laid out like a forum. I'm going to sound like a right old git now, because I'm not used to Discord. I've got it on my phone, so I'm still sorting it out, but it's set up like a forum. And there is sections for each of our different format shows, including one for Dice Hard. And I'll put up in there when the new show goes online, and you can join in and chat with podcast hosts are on there. Listeners are on there, so come and join in. Join that. That's a good way to get involved in the show too. You could put questions to us. You can put questions forward for interview guests and all of that kind of stuff. So
yeah, we might even get some ideas, and it's always awesome to see people's opinions on things we're discussing and talking about.
Yeah. You might even give us some recommendations for board games or anything like that. It'd be really good. So check out the links to the podcast notes. Things we talked about will be on there. Myself and Nuno will be back with one of these shows before too long. And of course, the whole 60MW team will be back with all their different format shows as well. So thanks for listening. And from me, it's goodbye. Nuno, I always find this the most difficult part of a show is just saying goodbye. So I'm going to be really terrible. I'm going to say goodbye, and I'm going to hand it to you, and just for you to end the show however you want to then. So over to you, Nuno. What would you like to say?
I have no idea. It's just thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you have the same opinion as Dave, that it's not too terrible, my English-speaking voice. And yeah, I hope you enjoy this. Give us some suggestions and be here for our next episode somewhere along the line.
I'm going to get you to finish every show now, because that was perfect.